Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Access Astrology. Three astrologers who get together on Monday evening to chat about astrology and world events and your chart. If you phone us or send an email, this is Mark Waltz speaking to you from New York City, and I'm joined by another New York astrologer,
Ann Ortley, talking to you from my bright red desk on the Upper East Side in a pouring rain Monday.
And this is Heather Rowan Robbins from St. Paul, Minneapolis, from the Twin Cities, where the weather is actually fairly quiet today after a wild weekend. We heard the tornado sirens three times yesterday and once the day before. The skies whirled. You know, people were making rapture jokes left and right. But no rapture. It was just a few tornadoes going around the edges of town. One was pretty severe, cut through a corner, only an F2. Nothing like Joplin went through, but still enough to really wake us up and be grateful for what we have, which I think wild weather often is so humbling and encouraging us to remember, you know, what's important. What would you dig out of the rubble if your house was whisked away? And how can you hold on to what matters to you and let go of everything else? So it was an interesting weekend.
Mm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wild stuff.
That storm.
Mm-hmm. Pardon?
Yeah, the storms. This has been the biggest. We're just talking about the fact that this has been one of the nine worst tornado years in American history. Been over 500 people killed by tornadoes so far this year. And,
yeah.
You know, it's humbling. I mean, it was described to me by, you know, European that we're the only, that we don't have those mountains that cut across the country. Everything is vertical up and down. So we have this mix of swirling winds. And the aspects that we have going on this year, you know, they're going on so long we can forget that they're a constant background. We T-square between Saturn, Uranus, and Pluto that moves in and out of tight orb all year, and it underlies every other aspect. So when there is something simple like a Sun-Neptune aspect this weekend, most of us will just feel a little spaced out and disconnected, as we might have over the weekend with that Sun-Neptune square. But where it intensifies, things tend to, the volume goes up very quickly, and it happens on a much larger scale and a much more intense version than we thought it might. So it can happen in a good way, and it can happen in a challenging way. But these aspects of, you know, intense change that cause a destruction of what was but allow us to rebuild something new, which are, we can feel in our small ways in our lives, in our politics, and in very big ways, is a constant process. Mark, what have you been seeing this week?
Well, actually, on Saturday morning, mm-hmm. I thought to include in my prayers all the people who had really invested in the rapture. You know, because I realize that they have to deal with the disappointment and possibly the mockery. And, you know, a lot of things would come their way. And yet, you know, they went into it with sincerity. And what occurs to me astrologically is, you know, some people asked, remember last weekend, they asked on Tuesday evening at Open Center, you know, what's going on with that? And we had to say nothing astrologically, right?
Right.
I mean, it, you wouldn't pick that day and say, oh, wow,
no.
You know, that day.
And sure enough.
You know. Yeah, and so, you know, it was a little strange even just to hear this. In a certain sense, I couldn't relate to it all along leading up to it because, you know, it just didn't, I don't know where they grabbed that date. And But then it occurred to me, whoa, you know, these people could use a little hand because they were sincere. And then I also thought about, you know, the whole notion of predicting and how you have to be really careful because, you know, it's not up to us to be able to say exactly when, like, when the whole world is going to end for everybody, you know. Like, mm-hmm. you know, the whole notion of being able to predict a particular day that that would happen is, that's off to begin with. Whether you want to do it by astrology or a way that you read the good book or, you know, whatever it is. So we always have to be aware of what we're trying to do, you know, as we interpret things.
Well, because I think that also it becomes a, you know, a self-fulfilling prophecy. I've been working on teaching a medical astrology course this last couple weeks, and you know, one of the older guys, you know, one of the older books I was reading was like, and don't tell them they're sick, you know, don't point out to them when they're, you know, where in their chart they're stuck with it, because you can embed negative thoughts in their head, and then they'll never get well, you know. And I thought, well, that was interesting, you know. It's like one of the old guys, you know, where it's really, really old, you know, 16th century. Like, you know, give them encouragement, give them hope, but don't give them, you know, you're going to die and, you know, this is wow. And it was an interesting, you know, perspective, because it's like, yeah, you know, there's a sense of, well, what are we doing? Why are we here? And I think when we have these predictions, it makes everybody go, well, if the world was end tomorrow, would I change what I'm doing? Would I do something different? And if I would, why am I doing what I'm doing now? And I think one of the things these kind of days, these kind of stories give us, or these kind of events where, you know, your house gets, the whole town gets blown away, is what would you change, you know? And in the case of Joplin, it was the high school got blown away, you know, and I thought, oh, those kids are probably really happy. And then I thought, well, no, probably not, because where are they going to go to school next year, you know, if the high school got leveled? But my first thought was, wow, the high school got blown down. You know, how cool. They must be really happy. And then it was like, no, there's probably kids that really like going to school that are going to be sad that the high school's blown down. And I think it's really, we don't realize until we see it through other people or we experience it ourselves, how important those things are, you know, those places and the energy of them, really. So
yeah, that's true, and like, you know, this whole notion of prediction, too. We really actually, all of us should live each day as though this is the last day of the world,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
Not with hysteria, but just simply saying, you know, one day it will be, maybe just for me.
Mm-hmm. It'll be my last day, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
And so how can we feel fully alive in that moment? And that's, I think, always what Pluto is trying to talk to us about,
mm-hmm.
not get ready because tomorrow is rapture and you're going and you're dead, you know, or you're out of here. But you don't have, knowing that your time here is limited, how can you be fully alive?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that is different.
Yeah. And it gives us a whole new way of looking at things. Speaking of which, we have eclipses coming, being fully alive.
Yes, we do.
And we're in orb now, so the eclipses are going to build. I was looking at them and I noticed that the there's three of them, but there's two new moon ones, one on the 1st of June, one on the 1st of July, and they're both at 9:10, which is the degree Saturn's stationing at. So one of them is going to be trine to Saturn and one of them is going to be square to Saturn. And Mercury, of course, is really moving lickety-cut, so he's ruling the south node where the sun is going to be, at least in two of them, and he's going to be in three different signs during the courses of the eclipses. So I think we're looking at some really powerful times ahead of us with a lot of information arriving. He's going to be in Gemini the first time, or in Taurus for the first eclipse, and then he's going to be in, for the next, drawing a blank on that. Going to be in
Gemini,
thank you. I was like, where my brain just left then? Gemini for the second, and then he's going to be in Cancer for the third. So it's kind of an interesting real shift because that node of destiny is going through three different signs as the three different eclipses come along and wake us up. And, of course, eclipses 18-year cycle, back to 1993, back to 1975, and if you're really old, back to 1957. So it's kind of one of those, what were you doing back then? And the story repeats on some level in the house in your Gemini and Sagittarius house. So where is your life going to want to say, let's break out of this place? Because it's a north node in Sagittarius that says, I want to change something, you know? I want to move on, move forward into new places. So
that is exciting.
Yeah.
And this one with the ruler of it in Gemini, the sun and the moon in Gemini, and the ruler of it in Gemini, and it looks to me like it might, you know, shocking news, and I think there's going to be some information about the making of treaties, which will be interesting, that we'll watch that negotiation. That could be a breaking and making of a treaty with your neighbor about whether or not to mow what part of your lawn, or it could be an international version of that. So keep an eye open for what negotiations you're doing around June 1st as the eclipse comes through.
Yeah, because new relations will be forming and changing. You know, existing ones will be changing. You'll say, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm out of here. Bye-bye. And that's always fun when you have those big shifts and changes. So, speaking of revelations, we had Arnold and Marie last week. And we had the Masher guy. I shouldn't call him a Masher. He hasn't been convicted yet. But the IMF guy.
IMF guy. He was a perfect example of reaching for something that is not yours, which is part of the Taurus problem right now.
Yep. Taurus is, I was all excited because we were going to have Taurus, and I realized some of the more lusty forms of Taurus arrived. You know, it's like, wow. Mm-hmm. So we
It occurred to me that we have about enough to form a 12-step group of wealthy, powerful, power figure men who blow themselves up with sex.
Right.
We have just about enough for a 12-step group.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be one here, one there. You know, now we got Tiger, we got the IMF guy, we got Arnold. We, you know, they should all get together.
Well, I feel all of them are an example of the wounded Mars. They're all wanting insurance. You know, some of it's power abuse, but also never feeling like you're enough on your own. And the IMF guy is an interesting example, when you look at him, of both that grabbing and the letting go. But it's the aspect so clearly on time, you know, you really feel the addiction, and the addiction tends to be filling up of something that you don't have. It felt like a very compulsive behavior on his part. So that misuse of Mars, instead of the lusty use of Mars in the best of ways, the misuse of Mars, you know, when we see a lineup of Mars like this, I'm a little worried about crimes of passion of any kind. It's stealing and grabbing, like this sexual assault, or the actual theft, or stealing one another's. I heard... and great possessiveness that comes along with the stealing. A poor friend of mine, the neighbors on one side had stolen, or were the neighbors on the other side, the guy thought he was having an affair with his wife. So they were yelling back and forth about having an affair, not having an affair, between the two households over my poor friend's house. They were yelling from one house to another, and she was in the middle.
Really? Wow.
And that's, you know, that both grabbing for something which is not yours, your neighbor's wife, kind of rather biblical, and being jealous and assuming that someone is doing that, whether or not they are, are both Taurus issues, like shadow Scorpio, underbelly of it.
Right.
So that is something that I ask when the lineup is in Taurus, don't play with jealousy issues. Don't go near them.
Or if you do, recognize they're going to really kind of come around to bite you in the butt, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And not in defense of the behavior, but, you know, Arnold's adventures were right after he had that heart bypass surgery. So I think for him it could have very well been, I'm dying, you know, like, I might be out of here. I better get busy on this stuff because otherwise I'm gone, you know. So, you know, because he had that heart surgery in 97. But it's still, you know, the whole story was a little bit difficult, certainly for his wife and family. But, you know, from his point of view, it's that I am alive, I'm not dead yet kind of thing.
Yep.
And that I also think is Taurus. You know, it gets very lusty and grabby and, you know, wants stuff because it needs to prove it's alive. And when it faces death, it tends to get a little crazy. So, and certainly having bypass surgery would be facing death. So
do we have any emails or requests from the caller?
We have a caller on the line, so we can pull them up. And I'll put out our phone number. 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881. We also have a 30-hour void moon this week. It runs most of Thursday, all night, when, you know, Wednesday, Thursday. So just check your void moons, because when we have a void moon like that, you should do your void moon projects, which are projects that you want to work on that don't really require you to initiate things, but require you to continue doing the things you've always been doing.
Right.
And just get them
great for sanding.
Great for what?
Exactly. Sanding, waxing the car,
yes,
the carpet,
yes. Cleaning,
filing,
right.
Yeah.
Throwing things
stuff
away.
That doesn't require a beginning and doesn't require signing on the dotted line by the end.
Right. Mundane chores that require the regular repetitive use of activity. So, hi, 415, you're on the air. Can you have a question?
Hi, this is Lila.
Hi, Lila.
I haven't gotten to talk
Hello,
to you guys
Lila.
In forever. Hi.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm
we
calling
finally got
my
it figured out so we can do, we've got time to do the people. It's
yes.
Like, yay.
Hi. So my birth information is 4/9/1975 at 12:34 a.m. in Whittier, California. And, I have two questions. One is that I just found out that I'm pregnant.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yay.
Congratulations,
sweetie.
I mean,
yeah.
If you are happy about it, I am happy about it.
I am happy about it. But I did conceive on around April Fool's Day, and I was wondering if you could see anything in my chart around that. And then I'm also, because of everything that's going on, considering moving out of my place this weekend, and I was wondering about the moon void, if that is a really bad decision, if I should try to extend by a month or something like that.
No, moving is a fine thing to do with Mercury retrograde. I mean, with the
oh.
void, of course, moon. Making
oh,
the
okay.
decision about moving is probably not what you want to do.
Okay. So I should make that decision before Thursday?
Before
right.
Thursday.
Before
right.
Thursday.
Or at the end of it, of the cycle, but not in the middle of a void moon.
Okay. Okay, well, that's good to know. And then are you seeing anything for around the 1st of April that would give me any clarity about this pregnancy?
You, what are you
seeing?
It
was sort of.
And, I mean, I'm
yeah.
seeing Uranus so, on her Jupiter coming up and a couple of other things. But what were you seeing, Anne?
I'm not. Let me look. I have her as April 9th, 1975, 12:40, right, in the morning?
12:34 a.m.
12:34,
mm-hmm.
okay. Did you have a specific question about what the pregnancy? I mean.
Yeah, well, it's. Was a shock, and my partner is dealing very badly with it and broke up with me, actually, about it. So I'm curious as to, I don't know, just anything that you're seeing either now or around that time period that could clarify why this is happening or how I should handle this.
Okay.
Oh, honey, you do have, I mean, it's interesting because in your chart, it looks like this is a freedom. I mean, there's an interesting double aspect here in that it'll get better after the next few months. Your progressed moon is in Cancer, and it's going to be conjuncting Saturn in the house of partnership in about 2 months. There's a possibility that your partner can grow up in the next 2 months and deal with the fact that he's going to be a father. And that was just such a shock to his system. But he didn't do anything to make it not happen.
Right.
So what, yeah, what I see
in fact,
is that
he manipulated
his maturity.
Yeah. Right?
Right. Oh, I was just going to say, in fact, it's come out now that it actually similar to what you guys were talking about earlier, that he was lying to me during that time and he was with somebody else, but he was manipulating me into continuing to be in relationship with him as he was lying to me. So that's kind of what I was wondering about.
Do we
about.
Have a time for him? Because in your chart I
do.
See, you know, feeling like you're growing up and having to take responsibility for everything, but also an interesting freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's something very fated and joyful about this all at the same time.
Yeah, that's really true. That's exactly what I'm feeling. Yeah, I have his information. It's September 28th.
The partner's birth info?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's September 28th, 1969. Flint, Michigan.
February 28th, 1969?
No, September. September.
December.
September.
Yep. 28th.
September. 28th, 1969.
And what year?
1969. Huh, why are we having such bad reception?
What time, Lila?
6 a.m.
Okay.
In Flint, Michigan.
Okay, so he's got Saturn on his Jupiter. So, yeah, he'd be a daddy. That's, you know, Saturn's going over his Jupiter at the time when you got pregnant. He's got Saturn in the first house.
What does that mean?
Huh?
What does that mean, Saturn going over
Jupiter?
Well,
Saturn is the planet of responsibilities, and he's got Saturn in the eighth house in Taurus with September 281969. He's got Saturn in the eighth. He's got a fairly fertile chart, with a Taurus moon, and Saturn on the Jupiter says he's starting a new 29-year story for responsibility and growing up and being an adult.
Uh-huh.
So you know he's ready to. You know, there's a part of him that's really ready to step up to the plate, and then there's another part of him that broke up with you and ran away.
Right.
Let's see what happens in August.
So I shouldn't feel so guilty that it's all my fault.
No.
You want to ease up on that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. That's very interesting. Okay, so just
right.
For me... Uh-huh, go ahead.
Yeah, you gotta remember it takes two.
Yeah,
I do. I remember that.
Yeah, he contributed like an essential part of it. You know, you are having, you know, with the moon on the Saturn, you know, in your chart, one of your big jobs is to become a parent, right? Saturn in Cancer in the seventh.
Okay.
That being a parent is a really important position for you. You're also having Jupiter through your fifth soon, which is children, you know. So your chart's like jumping up and down right now going, I want to make the babies. So it's making a baby. And, it, you know, I think in terms of, you know, it's always hard to be a single parent, but also, you know, he was the donor to the child. So there's a financial responsibility that he's got there, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I would make sure that that comes through because raising a child's expensive. But I think you're going to find somebody shortly thereafter with this baby. If he doesn't return.
What do you mean, after August or after the baby is born?
After the baby's
like
born or after August, either one. He may be back,
okay.
But if he's not back, you may find someone yourself that's more of a partner, you know, more of a partner for you that says, gee, I'm really interested in being your partner.
Right.
Because you're
okay.
Starting a new 12-year cycle around your life, you know. You've got roots, Jupiter in the fourth house saying, I'm ready to put down roots and grow. And all that Taurus, you know, your progressed sun is coming to your natal Venus, which is really falling in love with, you know, the child, but also it can be very much a falling in love energy.
Mm-hmm.
So think of it as the universe stepping in and saying, well, whether he's in or out, we know we're going to give you something to love, and then we'll find you somebody else if he doesn't come back, which he's supposed to be growing up now, so we'll see what he does.
Yeah, he's in a, you know, it might be 2 months or it might be 2 years, but he's an intense growth cycle.
Mm-hmm.
If you can sort of back burner him and say, you know, I just kind of keep checking the pot to see if it's done yet,
mm-hmm.
You know, because if he grows up, he's got a real gift to give you. I mean, he's got an amazing soul. He's just
mm-hmm.
really acting out left and right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And
okay,
acting
so
out and,
separate
and
myself,
it
maybe.
Hurts like hell that he's not there for you right now.
Right. So you're saying separate myself from him. Maybe
yeah.
don't have any contact or something for a while.
Yeah, just don't expect anything from him,
anything.
Unfortunately. He's
okay.
acting like the sperm donor. And
okay.
he's not, you know, there's a being coming in, it looks like to me, that, you know, is kind of like ready to roar into this world. And
yeah.
he's not ready to be a parent yet. But if, you know, I think he'll be able to be financially present, and I think he'll become a part of the child's life later on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to
yeah.
be useless, but he's not going to be useful. You like, you have to leave him out of your plans for the next bit, so you'll be able to forgive him and let him be part of the child's life in the long run.
Yeah, that's what I'm running up against, is do I stay in the area to allow him to be part of it if he wants to, or do I leave and be with family so that I have more support, which would mean leaving the area. So
mm-hmm.
it's been, you know, a back and forth struggle. All right.
Okay.
Well, I really appreciate that.
Well,
thank
I
you.
Think
lots
when you're support. When you're looking at where you would go, where is it? Is it a place that's more supportive of you? You know, because right now with Saturn on your moon, you're really feeling by yourself.
Yeah, I really am.
Yeah, it's a
yeah.
very isolating time. So that is saying, you know, in another month or so,
how
that
long,
isolation
okay,
is going to feel less. You're going to feel less isolated in a month or so.
Okay.
However, right now, it's really feeling isolated.
Yeah.
Okay, so just take some heart with that.
Yeah, I would just wait until Saturn goes direct in June, you know, because right now Saturn's retrograde. So when he goes direct in June on the eclipses, he's going to bring to light some stuff that you need to know. And he's also angular. He's on your ascendant, descendant. So he's
uh-huh.
going to give you information, you know, for yourself. And he is, for you, it's a really important time. These eclipses are your natal eclipses that you were born under.
Oh.
Right?
Oh,
so
you're
having a prenatal time. This for you is like you're on your path. So I would just kind of go, I'm on my path. I'm supposed to be making a baby now.
Okay.
And whatever the support is I need for that, Saturn coming to the midheaven will offer that, and also Saturn squaring Saturn, which is more in July. So
uh-huh.
I would simply, you know, kind of explore your options, and then, you know, you can always pack up and roll. But I think the sense of isolation, as opposed to, that's hard, because that moon on the Saturn is really, makes you feel alone.
I see. Oh, that really explains
it. Also
it
also suggests,
wow.
And the good side of that is it looks like there's some older women who can, you know, possibly mother figures, but maybe just older women who can be kind of really surround you with support right now.
Oh, yeah, that's actually been, I've been reaching out to some people around that. Wow.
So
okay.
really lean into that and let them be there for you. Let the aunties surround you here.
Okay, and so do you see by that I should, that it would be a healthier time maybe to wait to move until after this Saturn and all of this passes? Like, because I can stay in my apartment for another month.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think
you can without, it might be easier on you.
Right,
yep.
Okay.
And that's really
okay.
what you're trying to do is a good optimal growing space for the baby.
Yeah, gentle.
Yeah.
Gentle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gentle.
Okay, all right.
On yourself. The next couple of years are full of wild cards for you, but it can be, you know, full of beautiful things in the process.
Uh-huh. Well, let's hope
that's
one awesome. Is winning the lottery.
Right.
That always helps. Right.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad that I didn't have to work tonight and I could finally call in, and I just appreciate your show every week. I listen to it, and I thank you guys for the insight tonight.
You're welcome.
Well, bless you.
Good luck.
Okay.
Call us back
Thanks.
When the baby's born and we'll look at his chart or her chart.
I will. Okay, thank you. Goodbye.
You're welcome. Bye.
And this is Access Astrology signing off. You can look us up at astronyc.com, A-S-T-R-O-N-Y-C.com. Mark Waltz, New York.
Ann Ortley, New York.
And Heather Rowan Robbins in St. Paul, Minnesota. Take
okay,
care.
Thanks for listening.
So we'll see you next week. Bye.